Chazal tell us in the Gemara that the Tsar Noshim Simchonius right in the merit, not of us, not of the men, not of the Rabbonim, but in the merit of the ladies, righteous ladies, in Klal Yisrael. That is how we came out of Mitzrayim. And we're told as well that every year, Chayav Adam Lira Tzatzme, every year a person is supposed to view themselves, Ki'ilu, as if we came out of Mitzrayim. And the reason for that is because our continued existence, says the Ramban, our continued existence in Golus is no lesser of a name, of a miracle, than us coming out of Mitzrayim. One's implicit, and the other one was explicit. The Nate is a year after year. Our preparations for Pesach, our keeping Pesach as a family unit, which the main source is that of the housewife, through the considerable Mesiras Nefesh, the considerable giving themselves over day after day, evening after evening, and the preparations for Pesach, is something that although getting rid of grime and grease and comets and clearing out and crumbs and etc. etc. seems very unspiritual, but it isn't. It is the focus of the nation of Klal Yisrael evolving out of Mitzrayim and the continued invigoration of Klal Yisrael for another year, and that is what you, Chosha the ladies, are involved in every year. And I think that to give you a bit of spirituality, to give you a bit of a feeling that what you're doing over here is something very special indeed. And every cupboard that you clean out is, think of it as one stage coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in preparing for Yom Tov. That when you and your families, Yitz Hashem, sit round that Seder table, the chus that you have as a rightful place, as a queen, at that Seder table is very, very rightly earned and deserved. The purpose of this year is to help you with this. In particular, this year, that we printed this year because Pesach falls on Sunday, Shabbos is Erev Pesach, on the whole, it's an advantage. It means that you'll come to Seder with Hashem, half awake, or hopefully more than half awake, but certainly more refreshed and invigorated than you would be in a normal year, because you have that Shabbos to prepare. On the other hand, the fact that Shabbos is Erev Pesach comes along with its own dinim and intricacies and needs its special maneuvering, which is different to every year, and that's what the main focus of this year with the Mitzvah shall be. I've printed out, in fact, Mr. Erice has very kindly printed out for us a sheet that I've prepared for us, which will give all the dinim, and I'm going to go through this sheet and use it as a test. 30 copies have been printed, they're not quite enough. We will get more to you. Either they can be sent by email, or they're going to be printed at the back of, or the front of actually, of the Shul bi-yearly bulletin, which comes out, which is going to come out in a few days' time, I hope, won't be long. But anybody who would like, who hasn't got a copy, if you don't mind sharing for now, and, oh there we are, a couple of copies left, and anybody who hasn't got, if they could go to speak to Mrs. Esther Mora, that'd be very much appreciated, and she'll take your email address or find some way of getting it to you. Thank you very much. So, here we are. I'm going to go through the sheet, line by line, go through it, and this will form. Here we are. Erev Pesach on Shabbos, this is the title. This year, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. The difficulty arises that we have, on the one hand, to take care to remove chametz and prepare everything for Pesach, and on the other, to avoid the slightest chil Shabbos. I'll just say before I go further, any questions that you have which pertain exactly to what I've said, as opposed to anything that I haven't said yet, please feel free to ask, and maybe wait until the end if you think there's something that I've missed. Maybe make a little note of it, And by all means, I'll be happy to take questions at that point. The main problem is that on Shabbos one must eat Lecha Mishnah for the evening and the morning meals, but cannot use matzah because it's Erev Pesach. Thus, one is faced with removing the last traces of chomet on Shabbos itself, unless one follows method 3 mentioned in number 12 below. Now, I'll mention the following, that basically Pesach is on Sunday. The best way to think of Pesach is that it's coming on Shabbos. Erev Friday, which is the 13th of Nisan, is Erev Pesach, but for all intents and purposes, everything's got to be ready for Pesach by Shabbos. So think of Friday as Erev Pesach, Shabbos is blankety blank, it's Shabbos, and then Seder night is Motzei Shabbos. So everything's got to be ready, everything we'll see. Friday assumes the dinim of Erev Pesach, we're going to burn the chomets in Erev Pesach, we're going to sell the chomets in Erev Pesach, we're going to get rid of all the chomets in Erev Pesach except what we need for Shabbos. Everything's got to be prepared for the Seder on Erev Pesach, on Erev Shabbos, Friday, as if it were Erev Pesach, because there's nothing that we can do on Shabbos for Matzoi Shabbos for the Seder night. For a number of reasons. First of all, it involves melacha, and even if it doesn't involve melacha, like grating, grain, even if it doesn't involve doing the melacha, there's a problem of hachana, of preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos is forbidden, even if you're just organizing the table. And all of this, hopefully, will be included. Let's make a little note about children. How to work things out as far as children are concerned. Children too young to understand the Seder, certainly those under 4, to put an age to it, may be given real matzah to eat throughout the day of Erev Pesach. Tiny tots, don't give them chametz. Before you know it, they'll be all over the place. So therefore, don't give them matzah. Under 4, no question about it, they can have matzah. And even children somewhat older, until they've reached the age of chinuch, probably not before the age of 6, need not to be given bread at all this Shabbos. Give them potatoes. Don't give them bread. So if you don't want to give them matzah because you want them to have the novelty of matzah at Seder night, but at least don't give them bread. Don't put yourself in that vulnerable position that you turn your back and one of them disappears somewhere with bread and who knows where it's gone. Okay? So let's go through day by day, giving you an idea of it. Add something in over here that isn't in this printout, and that's the following. Those people who soak glasses for 3 days, commonly called shtelling, that you 3 days change the water every day in order to cash the glasses that are used for cold only, those who do it, and I've discussed this in previous years, whether one should or one shouldn't. I don't mean halakhically, but practically. But those who do it, remember to start this on Tuesday. Because you need Tuesday, you need Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but you'll need Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to be finished probably by the end of Thursday that you're done. Okay? So if you do that, make a little note before Thursday, say Tuesday, soak the glassware. Do that Tuesday so that you've got, in other words, maybe even Monday night, no later than Tuesday, so that you've got the whole of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then you're done. Good. Thursday, the 12th of Nisan, what have we got? We've got, it's the Tanis of the Bechorot, that's held on Thursday, this doesn't apply to you. Go on to the second one, Bedikas Chometz. Be prepared, that takes place on Thursday evening, immediately after nightfall, at 8:45. With the usual brocha and kol chamira, it's like the evening of Erev Pesach. Anyone going away for the whole of Pesach before this time does bedika, goes around looking the house for chomets on the night before going away without the brocha. So if it's before Thursday night, do it the night before you go away, but don't make a brocha. Brocha is only on Thursday night, the 12th of Nisan. All the chomets, point number 3, and necessary dishes, which will be required for the whole of Friday. So what do we do on Thursday night? We get rid of all chomets and chomets utensils, that will not be required on Friday, but anything that will be required for the whole of Friday, including what's going to be burnt, and Shabbos morning, should be put aside in a special place. Particular care should be taken to prevent children from carrying chometz around the house after the Bedikas chometz, and this applies every year. So here, from Thursday night onwards, the chometz that you're going to use from Thursday night through till Shabbos morning, keep, so to speak, under lock and key. Not literally, but keep it carefully guarded so that the Bedika that's been done to get rid of everything isn't undone by lost bread who knows where. Okay? Chometz dishes, which are not required on Friday and Shabbos morning, should be removed, as usual, to a room or cupboard and locked or sealed with tape for the whole of Pesach. So that's already in position, all in position, hopefully, Thursday night already. All done, all ready, as a normal year, as if it were Erev Pesach. Friday, the 13th of Nisan, the selling of chometz should have taken place on Friday morning. We do the selling of chometz on the morning of Friday, as if it were Erev Pesach. So we do that in the morning by 11:29, and care should be taken, the chometz to be sold should be in position by then. Okay? So, all, you see what I mean about it being as if Friday were Erev Pesach. All chometz, other than that sold or required for eating until Shabbos morning, should be burnt on Friday, when? At the usual time, i.e. by 11:29 a.m. That should all be burnt on Friday morning, although you're still going to be eating it Friday afternoon, if you want, Friday night, probably, if you're like a Mishnah, Shabbos morning, definitely, there's no other way. And so, it's a very strange thing. You're burning the chometz, you finish burning it, all done? Fine, now I'll have a sandwich. Okay? It's very strange, but that's the way it is. We keep things as if it's the normal Erev Pesach. That's what's going to be going on here. But, all the chometz that's going to be used from then until Shabbos morning, until the cut-off point, has to be kept carefully put in one place, if there are little children around, high up, out of the way, out of bounds, such there's no chance that you're going to lose the chometz. Okay? That thing. So this is the strange bit. But it's got to be sold at the normal, burnt at the normal time. But the second kol chamiro, which you normally say after burning the chometz, is not said then, but on Shabbos morning instead. And there's a note here to remind us, you've got to remember Shabbos morning to say that kol chamiro in time, to annul any chometz that may have gone astray. Okay, but you're not going to say it after burning the chometz as usual. You're going to say it after you've finished eating on Shabbos morning. 7. As no chometz may be left over after Shabbos morning meal, it's advisable to use small chaluk or rolls for lecha mishnah. I phoned up Dan Greenhouse today and reminded him, as I gave him the idea 3 years ago, to get the bakeries to bake small, non-crumbly rolls, no sesame, no poppy seed, beautifully nice, with an egg on the top, with great pleasure, but they should make it with a dough which is a bit more tacky, which certainly they should bake it slower, but it shouldn't be crispy and flaky, and that they'll have in position. So you could buy small rolls, so you make sure that you know how many people you've got, how much each one's going to eat, and you get the quantities roughly right. That I've put into position a reminder in there, especially for you, as I sort of got in gear for the shear for this evening. Pita bread would have the advantage that it would produce fewer crumbs. That type of a dough they're going to use to make rolls. But pita bread is very good because it's tacky, it doesn't crumble much. Good. The kitchen and the house must be ready for Pesach before Shabbos, as if Pesach were to start on Friday night. All kashering of vessels must be completed before Shabbos. So any kashering, again, that's got to be done, should be done. Do it on Thursday, do it on Wednesday, Thursday, beginning of the week. Keep it out of the way. That doesn't need to be done the last moment. But certainly, it can't be done on Shabbos. All preparations for the Seder, which cannot be made on Yom Tov, must be completed before Shabbos, as follows. This is what needs to be done on Friday, maybe Friday, as if it's Erev Pesach. A. Horseradish, chrein, should be grated, if that's what you use lettuce, we'll come to that in a minute, and tightly closed in a plastic bag or airtight container in the refrigerator. And that's all done, ready. Because on Shabbos you can't grate, on Yom Tov, we'll see in a minute, there are problems with it, we'll discuss what happens if you forgot later. B. Lettuce. If you use lettuce, that should be washed and examined, clearly not on Shabbos, but must not be kept in liquid over Shabbos. If it's been kept in liquid, it's got the dinners if it's been cooked, and cooked morrow is no good to be used as morrow. So if it stays in water, there's a din called kovush. If it's in water for 24 hours, it's got the dinners if it was cooked. If it's cooked, you can't use it as morrow. Morrow has to be raw. Therefore, by all means, wash it through, check it, but drain off the water. It can be kept in a container or plastic bag in the refrigerator. That's the whole thing, and it'll keep well. C. The charoset. Bone and egg. Those three should be prepared before Shabbos. Roast the bone, roast the egg, grate the charoset, make it up. All of that should be done on Friday, or certainly by the close of Friday. 10. If you have an eruv chaseros b'chometz, if you've made an eruv between with you and your neighbour that you can carry, say, from one back garden to the other, it must be renewed with Pesach Dikmatzah. You may have used Chometz Matzah, and you put it up in a high cupboard, and that's your, and of course an Eruv needs a shared loaf of bread, or a shared packet of matzahs. You may have forgotten, you put it high up, and it's Chometz, and remember that it's got to be Pesach Dik. You've got to check, you've got to get rid of it, don't forget it, and put something else, put some matzahs, some Pesach Dik matzahs in their place. A good idea is to use these the whole year round. If you always use Pesach matzahs, you don't have to worry about it. It's there, in a sealed box, it's finished. Even if the Friday evening and Shabbos morning meals contain chometz, and we're going to discuss how to prepare the meals, what they should or shouldn't contain, because you're eating chometz on the one hand, yet the whole kitchen must be Pesachic already. So, even if the Shabbos Friday evening or Shabbos morning meals contain chometz, it's essential that no proper chometz be cooked because of the difficulty of cleaning the vessels. You've got a problem. What are you going to do if somebody decides that they can't manage the Shabbos without spaghetti? So they're going to make spaghetti for the Shabbos before. How are they going to make sure to get all the spaghetti or whatever, or if they've baked something, how are they going to get it off the utensils? It might be easier if, with the exception of the challah, all the food be Pesachic and cooked in Pesachic vessels, and we'll discuss how we work the interface between chometz and Pesachic food. So here we are. Best thing is no cooking of chometz of anything when it comes to this. When it comes to that Shabbos, everything is Pesachic and Pesachic food with chometz rolls, and we'll see how. Number 12. For the Friday evening meal, one makes kiddush, and then there are three possible methods for the meal itself. Okay? One of the two methods is to be preferred if control of the chometz can be ensured. So here now, we're going to go to, we're actually at the moment, we are discussing, we're dealing with the meals. How are we actually going to get those meals to work? So here, we say the following, bearing an introductory note about children in mind. So the children, don't give tiny children who don't need to have chometz, don't give them chometz. It's asking for trouble. It really is asking for it. So, what are the three methods? They're the following. Three ways you might want to organize the Shabbos meals. Method number one is to eat some lecha mishnah, these rolls that hopefully will be provided for everyone, which will do right, in a secluded place. You might want to make it a porch. You might want to make it a sukkah in the garden. You might want to make it a morning room in a corner. You may want to do that. And so you have, sit there, and you'll eat these rolls. Everyone sitting down, I would say children, even over the age thing, absolutely, they must sit down. Get them to sit down. No one is to get up until they have finished eating their chometz. Absolutely not. And even then, they've got to get up one by one, with permission, brushed down by an adult, and then take it from there. So here we have, bench and brush everyone down thoroughly. Okay? Then, go on to eat the rest of the meal. Remember, you benched. So this is a Friday night, very interesting. So you make kiddush, maybe you make it in the sukkah, maybe you make it in the porch, maybe in a part of the morning room that is well away from anywhere else. And you'd have made Kiddush there, of course, you've got to make Kiddush. You'd have had a roll or two. You'd have benched, brush everyone down, then eat the rest of the meal at a different table, entirely Pesachic, remembering now to make all the appropriate brachas on the various foods. So it's a Shabbos meal, you're walking now back into the dining room, and you're completely a changed person, you're now Pesachic. You've got to remember, you haven't got the bread to rely on when you serve, say, the fish, the soup, and everything else. You've got to remember, you need to make a bravery adam on the potatoes, you've got to remember a shato on the chicken, and you've got to, remember brachas before, and a boirein of foshoyt at the end.
Yes.
Sorry? How do you clean your teeth? I don't think you have to be so worried about cleaning your teeth. We'll come to it. Those, if you have teenagers with train tracks, with braces, or any removable part of the mouth cavity, those should clearly be removed. We'll come to it. Removed and cleaned down. Anything else, I'm not terribly worried about it. I suggest over here, with people who have teenagers who have braces, on their teeth, so in such a case, they should eat a firm apple in between. I can't tell everyone, you've got to eat a firm apple going from the sukkah to think, everybody, right, the share price of apples will rock it, everyone's going to buy apples. And nowhere in Shulchan Aruch, nowhere in the post can say you must eat an apple. So it's an idea that I think particularly is relevant if one has artificial metalwork in one's mouth, that one needs to get rid of food. But I think since the poskim were happy that when you finished eating, you can rinse your mouth out if you want, but no more is necessary. Don't brush your teeth, you don't need to do anything like that. You go on to eat as normal, especially on Friday night and on Shabbos morning. You've got a bit of a time before eating chametz is forbidden. So you go on to eat a meal and finish, that's it. That's perfectly alright, yeah? So therefore I think it's enough. If you want to wash your mouth out and the sink, wash your hands, you can do it, and by all means, yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, we're coming. That's method two. It's coming. This is at the moment method one.
Can I just check? Can we make kiddush in the secluded place?
That's right. You've got to make kiddush where you have the roll.
Where you have the roll.
Because there's a din of kiddush has to be where you have the meal. The main meal, believe it or not, is the bread. It's the roll, the challis that you're having. What you're having later is meal number two. So the main meal was the roll. So you had it. You're still hungry? By all means, you can have some chicken, you can have some soup, you can have some fish, whatever you want to have, that's fine. But you're now moving into the festival department, yeah. No, not at all. You don't need to. Interesting question. You don't need to leave any gap at all, because once you finish the meal, you've moved to another place. It's the new place which is creating the necessity for another meal. You don't have to wait, and that's why we haven't put it in the sheet. We contemplate it carefully. You don't need to. You can move straight on to the next meal. That's absolutely fine. Yes. It's like this. Normally, you're right that the obligation to bench min ha-Torah, as far as the Torah is concerned, is only when you're full. Midrabanon, as long as you have an olive size of bread, is enough to bench. And therefore over here, you're right. The benching will not be an obligation in that Torah because you're still waiting for the main part of the meal. But this is the best way to organize it such that you don't get an all types of bracha problem. Like if you were at the bench and you were to move into another room, you would have a very serious topic as to whether you do need to make brachas in the next place. As a result of that, it's better to bench, and then you know you do need to make a brachas and you're out of trouble. So therefore, best is to do it, finish, and then you're not going backwards and forwards from chomet to matzah and matzah to chomet and getting into all types of trouble. Yes.
What share of
lechem? How much should one have? One should have the size of an egg. The size of an egg. I could give it to you in cc's, but I think it's easier to imagine an egg. That is the minimum that you need in order to fulfill the obligation of a Shabbos meal. It's the size of a nowadays egg. Yes, an average egg, something like 50-55 cc's. That's what you need to have. We can all picture an egg, that those rolls will be larger than an egg, but not much larger. From memory of 3 years ago, not much larger. And therefore, you'll have roughly something like 2 eggs, an egg and a half. So, probably a roll per person. If you're hungry, by all means, have 2, 3, or 4 of these. There's no reason why you shouldn't fill up on challah. But, if you want to, the minimum is, I would say one of those rolls will be enough. Will be enough. So, let's move on. Possibility number two, method number two, is eat the chometz as part of a chometz meal. So you're going to sit in the sukkah now for a bit longer. Yes? Or wherever you're having this meal. And you're going to have, you're not going to finish off the meal in the dining room, which is pesachic. You're going to finish off the meal, for example, in the sukkah or in a corner of the morning room, and you're going to have, it's going to be a chometz meal. And the best thing is to using chometz stick, or nowadays, I would say very much so, disposable vessels. Disposables make it so much easier. With food cooked pesachic. Now we need to know, how do you bring pesachic food onto a chometz stick table? Any hot food, you'll see why method one is probably the best. It's probably the one that is the cleanest, because you make a clean break between chometz, again, do it, done it, put it to the side, and move on. Everything pesachic as normal. But the second option is an option. Any hot food should not be brought to the table in the vessel in which it was cooked, because it was cooked in a pesachic pot or dish. But be transferred to an intermediary vessel. This vessel should be pesachic or preferably disposable. Disposable is marvelous, it's no man's land. Not pesach, not chometzik, a new disposable, whatever it is, and put all the food there. Then you can take it from your kitchen into, so to speak, from the safe haven of the pesachic kitchen, you take it out to the chometz and you haven't got this problem. But if you don't, you're going to have to take a, if you don't want to use a disposable one, then it should be pesachic, because you don't want to pour from a pesachic pot into a chometzic dish. It'll have to be a pesachic dish, and you'll have to watch it that this pesachic dish doesn't come into contact with any chometz on the table. No chometzic utensil should be brought into the kitchen, nor should any pesachic one be placed on the table. So you're going to have to serve in midair. Yes? That's the way. So method number one is easier. Some people, especially those who have little children or grandchildren in the house, might find it preferable to use egg matzahs. And this is option number three, with a reliable hechsher. Now the problem is getting them with a reliable hechsher. 3 years ago I spoke to Novitz, I tried to call him today, and for some reason I can't get hold of him, but he told me that Matzahs Yehuda do make reliable egg matzahs. Okay, you'll see, using egg matzahs is not as convenient as you think, because of what's coming, but those who wish to use it, there is room to use it. You might find using chometz and being done with it easier. But egg matzahs, well, I think with the Hechsher Matzahs Yehuda, certainly 3 years ago, if there's any difference, I'll let you know. But that's what it should be, with a good Rabbanut Mahadrim Yerushalayim Hechsher. He says, this will enable all chometz to be disposed of before Shabbos. The egg matzahs can be, so you've got no, if you use egg matzahs, you've got no chometz left in the house whatsoever. Then, the egg matzahs can be brought to the pesachic table and eaten until 9:59 a.m. You still can't eat the egg matzahs after the time you can't eat chometz. That's the din. So, it doesn't help you as much as you think. If using this method, make sure that no crumbs are eaten after this time. You can't even eat egg matzah crumbs. And therefore, take particular care that none are allowed to adhere to your pesachic butter or jam. The reason for this is that in accordance with the opinion of the Ramah, matzo ashira, which is the Shulchan Aruch term for egg matzahs, may not be eaten after the time limit for eating chometz has passed, except in case of great need. Ask the Rav, Ekshaila, if you think this may apply. Matzo ashira may, however, be kept over Pesach, but should be put away. In practice, you've got to get rid of matzah crumbs. There's only one thing worse than challah crumbs, and that's matzah crumbs. So if you want to use egg matzahs, that is an option. You cannot eat the matzah crumbs. You can't eat matzah, you've got to get rid of all the crumbs by, you've got to stop eating them by 9:59, but you don't have to. You can keep egg matzahs over Pesach. If you find this helps you, by all means, we personally feel that having crumbs, having few crumbs of comets in a secluded place is the easiest option. And then you get rid of the comets, we'll see in a minute how. If you've got anything left over, you get rid of the crumbs and all is done. But the egg monster option is an option, but it doesn't save all that much. I would say in homes where there is serious worry that the children will not listen to their parents, they'll be all over the place, and there's serious concern that comets will get lost or go astray, there, egg monsters is something that is called damage limitation that one can employ. Over to Shabbos itself. Now Shabbos morning. On Shabbos morning, after early Shabbos, at 7 a.m, if it's considered early, make the usual kiddush. He says, have lecha mishnah with either chomets or egg matzahs, and finish the meal before 9:59. Whereas any of these three methods above can be employed, it is suggested that it would be best to eat just a small breakfast in a secluded place. Yes, whatever that will be. And false teeth, removable dental braces, should then be rinsed under a cold tap. Any residue of chomets trapped in fixed dental braces could be dislodged by eating a firm apple. So here's the option. Here we have. This is Shabbos morning. It is advisable not to eat chomets in a carpeted room. This applies to Friday night as well. Why? Right? As one cannot clean the carpet thoroughly on Shabbos. It might be helpful to spread a paper or plastic sheet around the eating area. After breakfast on Shabbos morning, all crumbs from the tablecloth, the floor, and from this sheet should be collected into a dustpan and emptied into the WC and flushed away. That's the way to get rid of comets this Shabbos. Normally speaking, burn it, you might take it out, you might have a special collection of comets. This won't be happening this year. So what do you do with anything left over? Crumbs, or even you overbought and nobody can eat the comets. What do you do with it? You have to break it up and pop it into the toilet and flush it down. The broom, brush and pan used should be checked for crumbs. Obvious crumbs, don't go mad with it, but any obvious crumbs that are there should be, again, disposed of in the same way. You don't want to start sweeping up and getting breadcrumbs all over your plastic floor after you've finished, so make sure you get rid of anything you do into the WC. Yeah.
If one is, for example, up in the garden,
yes.
On the patio, whatever.
Right.
Not really collect up crumbs.
Don't worry about more crumbs scattered around. I'm more worried about them in the house because food or plates or cutlery might land up on the floor and you've got crumbs there and children are picking up toys and they put it on the table. That's really in the house we're worried. Bits and pieces of crumbs on the patio or in the garden, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. One will not transgress the prohibition of keeping comets because of a few crumbs scattered around outside. What I'm worried about is eating some crumbs which somehow get from the floor in the house to one's food on Pesach. That's what we want to avoid. So we're more careful in the house. If you're eating out in the patio, I would say that you don't need to put any sheeting out. You don't need to worry about it, and eating out the patio may be an excellent idea. We did it last time. Eat in the patio, then all you have to do is look around for any sizable pieces of challah that may have fallen from the children. That's all you need to do. So outside, you don't need plastic sheeting at all. Yes? Yes, those who don't have a minig to... the different minhagim. Some people don't eat matzah from Purim, others from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The strict letter of the law is only Erev Pesach in the morning. Those who don't have either of the minhag from Purim or from beginning of Nissan, can no reason why they shouldn't eat real matzah and have a normal meal on Friday night, but on Shabbos morning there is no way out. Because Shabbos morning you're not allowed to eat matzah, and you've only got the option of having a Shabbos meal with lecha mishnah using bread. That's the only option. And we'll see for Shabbos Shudas, you can have neither bread nor matzah, and we'll discuss what to do. Although eating has to stop by 9:59, keep cool, you have until 11:29 to remove any residue of chametz, but concentrate on finishing your breakfast meal, get eaten, make sure everyone's eaten. You still have, after that, another hour and a half to get rid of any residue of any chametz. And to do anything you want to do, wash your mouth out, whatever you're going to do, make sure that everything is in the, any residue of chametz is in the WC, you've got another hour and a half. So keep, you're okay with that, and you've got that time. Any chametz left over should be broken into small pieces and disposed of in WC before 11:29 a.m. After any chametz stick vessels have been used for the last time, if you're going to use chametz stick utensils, they should be inspected, and any crumbs adhering should be removed and rinsed off in a non-peseptic sink, i.e. maybe up in the bathroom, but not washed up properly, because they will not be used again on Shabbos. You can't wash up chametz stick dishes on Shabbos, because when are you washing them up for? You're washing them up for after Pesach. You're not going to use them again till after Pesach. So again, you, one would be preparing from Shabbos for over a week's time. That's forbidden on Shabbos to do. All you can do is get rid of any food, any real crumbs that are there, but you can't actually wash them up, so you've got to put them away dirty. Dirty-ish. But, in other words, by all means, get rid of any chametz that's still there, but dirty-ish. They should then be locked away or put in a sealed cupboard for the duration of Pesach. Again, sticking down a cupboard on Shabbos is problematic. So if all the cupboards are sealed down, you've got problems. The only place you can put it in is that type of a cupboard which has a little bit of a lock, or put it high up on top of a cupboard where no one would normally get to it and think that it's there, so to speak, out of bounds. Disposables, you might think, just throw them away, but no, careful. You should also be clear the crumbs in this way, and only when the crumbs are all off the disposables into the WC should the disposables be put into the dustbin. If the dustbin is outside the house, remember that it's Shabbos, and you may not be able to carry the disposables out from the house to the bin. Because with all the frantic and all the worry about Pesach, remember, it's Shabbos. And this is the tone over here. So he says, trouser pockets and turn-ups of clothes worn for the chametz stick meals should also be examined. Any fold, anywhere where food could fall and become trapped, be careful. The turn-ups is much more so, maybe top pockets, whatever have you, without going sugar over it, but be vigilant as to where residue of chametz could have been trapped and could be lingering. Good. 17. Once all the known chametz has been removed and dishes stored, somehow do not forget to say the Kol Chamiro. If you miss it, it's 11:29, there's no point in saying it afterwards. Gone. Had it. Got to remember to say Kol Chamiro by 11:29. What I would suggest very much is, when you finish benching, or even just before benching, or whatever you want, straight away, Kol Chamiro. Say it then. Get rid of it. You can't eat anything more anyway. Take Kol Chamiro straight away. Don't get so engrossed in getting rid of the last bits of chametz that you forget to say Kol Chamiro. It's easily done. So maybe have a little, make a little note, maybe a little sticky something on your bencher to say, remember Kol Chamiro on Shabbos morning. Say Kol Chamiro straight away. Good time. Done that. And you can heave a sigh of relief and then get on with the rest. So here we are. To renounce any chametz which has been left in one's possession inadvertently. 18. From 9:59 onwards in the morning until Seder, neither chametz nor matzah may be eaten. Yes? So on all other days of the year, either chametz or nights of the year, either chametz or matzah. Except for Erev Pesach, which after the cutoff point, it's neither chametz nor matzah. One should nevertheless eat a meal to fulfill the requirements of Seuda Shlishit. After 1 p.m, which is midday, clocks will have gone forward, 1 p.m, remember to make all the appropriate brachas, as this meal cannot contain any bread or matzah. So whatever you eat, you need to make a bracha for. You normally think, well, I'm sitting down to shalosh shivas, I never make a bracha, I make hamotzi and that's it. Remember, if you have potato, or adomo, if you have a drink, shakol. Note, however, that boiled matzah balls, yeah, knedlach, are permitted, so are deep fried schnitzel and fish. So if you want to provide a meal using matzah meal, which is boiled or deep fried, which halakhically counts as boiled, that's okay, but no baked matzah items, not just matzah, but no baked cake or anything of the like, which has been, if it's been baked, it's no good. If it's been boiled, even if it has matzah in, it's okay. Because boiling can't be used. The reason why we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach is to give the novelty to have something that we don't need anything that we could use for Seder night. If it's boiled, it can no longer be, it's no longer considered as bread. If it's baked, it belongs to the bread department. Okay? So that's what we have. But you can have knedlah, you can have that, that's all okay. During the last quarter of day, after 4:32 p.m., one should refrain from eating any knedlah or such large quantities or of other foods such that or that would spoil one's appetite for the matzah at the Seder. In other words, the idea is to come to the eating of the matzah with an appetite. You don't have to be absolutely famished and starving, that you don't have to do, but not to be absolutely totally full that you can't eat anything else. Part of the mitzvah of matzah is to eat it with relish, to eat it with an appetite. Choose matzahs that are both mehuda in their kashrut and tasty. That's also part of it. But leave yourself room for the matzah as well. So have a bit, by all means, feed the family, make sure they haven't eaten nothing from the morning right through till, 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night, and but give them food in moderation such that they're still some appetite for the meal. It's usually not too much of a problem because there is such a large gap. They always say, to remind the ladies, that dusk isn't chomet and the family isn't the korban pesach. So somehow the family as a unit needs to have something to eat, and this is the way to do it. Either potatoes is a wonderful thing, potatoes, fish, meat can be had even with matzah meal, as long as it's boiled or deep fried, is absolutely in order. Yeah.
Sorry to be picky, but is the deep fried significant, or can it be shallow fried?
No, absolutely significant. That's right. What I mentioned. Shallow fried counts, if it's very shallow, that counts as baking. It counts as baking with a bit of oil at the bottom, like if you were to fry an egg. So you do it shallow. It's just there, basically, to stop it sticking. Deep fried is like boiling. Instead of water, you've got oil.
How deep is deep? That's all I'm wondering about, Howard.
Put it this way, if it's submerged,
completely submerged.
Well, sometimes you turn something over. If it's a fish and you turn it over, yeah. Well, what you're doing really is, you're frying the underside, you turn it over, then you fry the other side. So basically, whatever is being fried, in oil. That's okay. So, here we have. Now, Mitzvah Shabbat, first Seder night. You've got there, you've gone for a rest. Oh, Machaya, wonderful. Everything is in place, as it should be. And now, here we are, 20. No Seder preparations of any kind are permitted on Shabbat itself. You're a very, very conscientious Balabusta, and you want to have everything just so ready. You can't do it before Shabbat goes out. Nothing can be done for the Seder night. Whatever's been done on Friday is done. Whatever hasn't been done, whatever it may be, cannot be done on Shabbat. Even if it's laying the table, even if it's not a malacha, you're not doing anything, even if it's organizing things, you can't do anything on Shabbat for after Shabbat. So therefore, this includes arranging the table, taking out the kittel, or any other Seder things, after nightfall at 9 p.m, and you can sit there with a stopwatch if you like, ladies and girls who do not have a Maariv should first say, Baruch Hamasil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Remember to say that. It's not Ben Kodesh L'Chol this time. Normally it is between Shabbat and a weekday. Now you're going from one holy day to another holy day, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Remember to say it before you lift a finger to help to prepare for the Seder night. Again, make yourself a note. If you think you need it, pop it on the fridge. Must remember to say Baruch Hamasil at 9 o'clock. And then, yes? The mitzvah, the marvelous mitzvah, but you don't want it to be an aveira. So if you did it on Shabbat, it would be an aveira, not a mitzvah. Because you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbat, even for Yom Tov. Shabbat for Shabbat, yeah? Shabbat for after Shabbat, no.
Even for a mitzvah.
Erev Shabbat which is Yom Tov for Shabbos, that's why we have the Eruv Tashirim. But Shabbos for Yom Tov, that doesn't exist. To lay the table, no, laying the table, yes, with an Eruv Tashirim only. The Eruv Tashirim allows you to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But Shabbos to Yom Tov, there's no Eruv Tashirim, so it doesn't work. And there is no way to do it. So you've got to wait until after Shabbos, after you've said Baruch HaMasil in Kodesh LaKodesh. That is a verbal Havdalah, which does the job, which, as it were, ends Shabbos. That's how you end Shabbos, not just by the clock, but also by formally terminating it. Normally we do it with a glass of wine. That will happen during Kiddush. Kiddush will be Kiddush and Havdalah together. But before that, you want to get on. So you can do it verbally, and the Havdalah on the wine will come later. Okay, so now we've got 21. If it's been forgotten, it's a great question. Here we are. Now we'll discuss in 21 all the forgottens. Yes? What do we do about the forgottens? So number one, you forgot to grate the horseradish. Answer, it may be grated on Yom Tov with a small shinui. Shinui means in a slightly unusual manner, e.g. by grating it onto a paper serviette. You normally do it on a plate, do it on a paper serviette with a hand grater, of course. A hand grater, not on a plate as you might do it, or a board, but do it on a paper serviette. That constitutes some different, unusual manner that will do. The same applies to any grating required for making charoset, if you forgot that. If the roasting of the bone and egg has been forgotten, then you can do it on the Tzoy Shabbos. That's okay. You can't turn on the oven to do it. And anyway, you do it on top, because it's supposed to be roasted. If you've got a gas flame, roast it on the gas flame, even on Friday, that's the way it should be done, over the gas flame. You can do that on Yom Tov, but there's a, over here, since you're doing it on Yom Tov, there is a condition. As long as they are eaten on the first day of Yom Tov, you can't prepare from the first day of Yom Tov to the second day of Yom Tov either. So if you prepared it on Friday, there you are, you have it. You can use the same egg and the same bone, pop it into the fridge after the Seder, take it out again, no problem at all. But if you didn't, and you were actually roasting it on Matzoi Shabbos, you've got to have it by the end of Sunday. So you'll eat it Sunday during the meal, and you'll make another one on Sunday night for Sunday night. For the second night, eating them again on the second day. Otherwise you've prepared on Sunday for Monday, which is a weekday. Well, Chol HaMoed anyway. But it is not Yom Tov, and therefore, if you didn't prepare it before, you're going to actually need to make two. That really brings us to the end of these halachas, and this sheet, you can take the sheet with you and follow it. The idea is to follow it stage by stage, and you'll be alright to be able to, clearly, you won't be able to tick them all off, because as it comes to Shabbos, you can't tick them off, but you'll be able to get an idea of what, before maybe just a couple of minutes, I'll remind you of some general points that apply every year, but if there are any questions, anything that hasn't been understood, then please, by all means, yes. Right. Right. You can't use it at all during Pesach. You can only use it on Erev Pesach. And I'm pleased actually you brought this up again, because it needs underlining. Matzah, egg matzahs. Egg matzahs cannot be used on Pesach. Cannot be used on Pesach unless there's a great, great need for it, which needs to be decided by a posek, who will know what the parameters are. So you cannot eat egg matzahs. They can only be used on Erev Pesach until 9:59, until the cut-off point.
But if the wine,
right.
They wouldn't have the benefit of coming to the show. They wouldn't even want to come to the show, actually. And nobody tells them.
certainly better that they should use egg matzahs than chametz. That's certainly better. But you're right. You're right, that should be made aware. But I will say something else. It is far more difficult to produce egg matzahs properly, such that not chametz, than it is ordinary matzahs. For the very simple reason, if any water gets into the dough, if the utensils are not dried properly, yes, if the kneading troughs, the kneading utensils are not dried properly, and the mashkiach is not there to make sure everything is bone dry before they start, it becomes, when you have flour, egg, and you have water, it's explosive. It becomes chomet immediately, on the spot. Whereas water and flour, you've got the 18 minutes. In fact, you've got 18 minutes of it not being worked upon, and you're okay. To a certain extent, you can relax. If any water gets into that egg matzah dough, it's chomet already, like that. Therefore, egg matzahs, it's very, very difficult to produce them with a reliable hechsher. And Rav Neuwirth told me, the author of Shmir Shabbos Kehosa, told me last time, 3 years ago, that Matzah Yehuda, they do produce egg matzahs in a way that is reliable. However, there are many for this reason who say, can't eat it on Pesach anyway. It's matzah crumbs all over the place. For goodness sake, what do I need it for? Let me eat a bit of chometz, get rid of it, done, finished, with, again, chometz that is non-crumbly, I will deal with it. I bring it as method three, because since there is a way, there is a method, those who still are nervous about the kids and say, look, however bad these egg matzahs are on Pesach, they're not chometz. It's not chometz if it's produced properly, it won't be chometz. The minhag is not to eat it on Pesach, but it's not chometz, and therefore I'm reducing the risk of what could possibly happen with my uncontrollable bunch. Yes? So that's the thing. So therefore that's what, so it is a method there. I would certainly advocate for method number one as being the best all round method to use over here. Any other questions? Seems simple enough, huh?
Can I ask something about the dustbin, the wheelie bin?
Yeah.
I just remember from childhood having to pour bleach into it. Is that a necessary thing, or can it be assumed that whatever's in the bin doesn't belong to you anymore, even though it's your bin?
Certainly, if the bin is out in the street.
If it's in the driveway, which is where it lives.
If it's in the driveway, it's on your property.
Shared property?
Yeah, it's shared with a Jew, and it's certainly a problem.
Yeah, okay.
I would say it's preferable not to put real chometz in the bin if your bin is not outside. The bin belongs to you, it's in your domain, you have the right to use it, you can take something out of it, nobody has the right to take something out of it from there. It's preferable, I would say, try and make sure that you don't have real chomets in your bin. If you have, you want to pour a bit of bleach over it, that's alright. If you want to not put real chomets actually in the bin, but there will be special skips, do all that before Shabbos, try and make sure you don't have real chomets in that bin, and then pour and any other chomets you'll dispose of down the WC, then you know you're okay. Okay? But otherwise, I don't think it is mandatory to pour bleach into the bin. General point, I'll just say, just with a couple of minutes we've got left, always, just to make things easier, somehow it's a balance between being lackadaisical and going meshuggah. Going meshuggah, my father always says, it's mentioned that's something that isn't something we're supposed to strive for. It's mentioned in the Tochacha what will happen to Klal Yisrael if you don't keep the mitzvahs. It's not supposed to happen through keeping the mitzvahs. It's supposed to keep calm, enjoy Pesach. Some people say instead of having a happy Purim and a kosher Pesach, they say have a kosher Purim and a happy Pesach. So it's about being upstairs, out of the kitchen and the dining room, look around for biscuits. Don't worry too much about bits and pieces of what you think could be, might be, possibly be crumbs. You're looking in the rest of the house for biscuit, something the size of an olive, something chometz of the size of an olive. That's your focus. That's where your sights should be focused at. In the kitchen, it is more so, because even a crumb, the difference is between ownership and eating. We don't even want to eat the smallest crumb of chomet, yes. But when it comes to ownership, it's got to be the size of an olive. So if it's upstairs, if it's out of the eating areas, don't worry about something that could be, would be, maybe a crumb, yes, if you use a healthy sense of imagination. But in the kitchen, by all means, clean things nicely, make sure everything's clean, surface is covered, and then you start off with a fresh area, you know you're okay, and that's it. Cover over the kitchen, the hoods, the extractor fans, those should be covered over. They get tremendously hot, and the steam forms a connection between the hob, between the underside of the extractor fan and the food that you're cooking. Cover those with silver foil, and somehow you'll have to manage without an extractor fan probably, unless you're able to somehow clean it and protect it in a way that can be used. Probably you'll have to manage with the good old openable windows that we always used to have, and probably more effective anyway than these noisy machines that don't seem to do very much anyway. But do cover the underside of those. And I would also say that around the cooker you have tiles that often get splashing of chomet. Clean them down well, and I would even say, for your own nerves, just take some silver foil, aluminium foil, cover over those areas that you don't push a hot pot to the back of the worktop and it touches, or a ladle or something hits the sort of the splashbacks or the tiles at the back there. That way you know if anything pessimistic touches that area, it goes on to clean aluminium foil and you know you're okay. The general notes are in the guide that's always been given out. If you have it from last year, that's fine. If you don't, there'll be a new one this year. These guides, I think, were about up to number 12. And everything is in there, stage by stage, to clean all various parts of the kitchen, from all the appliances, all the worktops, all the various parts of the kitchen, toys, everything else. It's all there in the link. By all means, read it. If you have any problems with it at all, please don't hesitate to call me day or night, because I'll be doing the same as you are. So there's no problem at all. And if I'm not there, leave me a message and I'll endeavour to get back to you as quick as I can. Have an enjoyable Pesach. Enjoy it, remember to enjoy it. Tis Zman Cheiruseinu. This is the way we free ourselves from Mitzrayim, from physicalities, to concentrate on the spirituality, to become cleansed, become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the nation of Hashem. Keep the spiritual aspect in your mind, try and keep calm, and I will encourage the husbands to help you out as well. Don't tell them, but don't tell them I told you. But this is one of my tasks is to make things as easy for you as I can. I hope this has helped you, and good evening.